In the kingdom of Ilya, surviving the plague means more than just cheating death. It means gaining supernatural abilities that determine your entire future. The devastating disease that once ravaged the population created a new social hierarchy. Elites with extraordinary powers at the top and powerless ordinaries at the bottom. The royal Azor family, wielding fire and lightning, rules with calculated cruelty over high elites with combat abilities, utility elites with practical powers, and the persecuted ordinaries who gained nothing from their survival. For silver-haired Peyton Gray, life in Loot Alley means constant vigilance. She shares a precarious existence in a hidden sanctuary called the Fort with her best friend Adina, an elite phaser who can move through solid matter. Their unlikely friendship defies the brutal social divisions enforced by white-masked imperial guards who conduct safety patrols that often end in violence. Public whippings, finger-breaking, and palm-branding serve as daily reminders of the price of disobedience. The discovery of an ordinary living among the population triggers immediate banishment to the Scorches, vast desert wastelands where temperatures soar and water sources are deliberately poisoned. This is the world King Edric Azor created after the infamous purging that sent thousands of ordinaries to their deaths. Peyton's life changes when she pickpockets Prince Kai, the kingdom's feared Shadow of Death enforcer, then unexpectedly saves him from a power-suppressing silencer. This act earns her the title Silver Savior, an unwanted entry into the deadly purging trials. Kai finds himself drawn to this silver-haired slum dweller. As a wielder who can temporarily use others' powers, he's troubled that he cannot sense or access Peyton's supposed psychic abilities. This mystery deepens his dangerous attraction to her. Their relationship evolves from hostility to reluctant alliance. During training sessions, they clash both physically and verbally, with Peyton refusing to show deference. "I don't want your mercy," she demands. "Next time we fight, impress me." Her defiance both frustrates and fascinates him. Neither realizes their pasts are already intertwined, a connection that will eventually shatter everything they believe about each other. The purging trials are dangerous challenges where elite contestants compete, testing powers and reinforcing the hierarchy that oppresses ordinaries. In the first trial, contestants hunt through Whisper's Forest claiming leather bands from opponents. Peyton showcases remarkable survival skills, crafting weapons and outsmarting supernaturally gifted rivals. When an illusionist's terrifying visions injure her, Kai unexpectedly rescues her, creating the first crack in their mutual hostility. The second trial forces contestants to climb treacherous Plummet Mountain, cooperating initially before turning against each other at the summit. This reveals the trial's inherent cruelty. Contestants build tentative trust before being forced into betrayal. Peyton's capture of the victory flag challenges expectations about who deserves to win in this power-based society. Magical sights broadcast the contestants' struggles to the kingdom. The public watches eagerly, placing bets and choosing favorites, while lavish balls between trials create a jarring contrast. Contestants exchange pleasantries with the same people they'll battle the next day. In a world where survival depends on false appearances, identities become both weapons and vulnerabilities. Peyton's central deception, pretending to be a psychic elite while actually an ordinary, defines her existence. Her father trained her to fake abilities through observation and insight, a performance so ingrained she sometimes loses track of her true self. Her people reading skills prove invaluable during the trials when demonstrating her power through revelations about volunteers. Yet each successful deception increases her risk of exposure. As she reflects, playing along is the price of survival. Prince Kai also wears masks, though emotional ones. As the king's executioner, he projects coldness while his true nature occasionally surfaces, refusing to kill children, showing gentleness when braiding Peyton's hair, placing flowers on a fallen opponent's grave. These moments reveal the conflict between the monster his father created and the man he wishes to be. Neither knows their pasts are already entangled. Kai killed Peyton's father, a truth that has shaped their connection from the start. Beneath elite society's glamour runs a current of resistance. The ordinaries have organized into a movement determined to overthrow the regime that persecutes them. The resistance operates from secret locations, including Peyton's childhood home. Members serve specific roles. Lena creates maps, Finn designs armor, Lenny gathers intelligence as an Imperial guard, and Mira works as a silencer. Their leader, Callum, is a mind reader who knew Peyton's father. Peyton's involvement deepens upon learning her father's true legacy. Adam Gray wasn't merely a healer, but a key resistance figure murdered by Prince Kai on his first enforcer mission, fueling Peyton's commitment to their cause. As a trial contestant, Peyton gathers valuable intelligence. When Prince Kit shows her a secret tunnel system beneath the castle, she recognizes its strategic value, steals his key, and shares this information, enabling the resistance to infiltrate during the final trial. The final trial unfolds in a maze controlled by Bloom's elites. The king's cruelty peaks when Adina, Peyton's best friend, is revealed as the criminal contestants must kill. After Blair murders Adina, Peyton's grief triggers the resistance's attack. The spectacle transforms into revolution as Callum announces, "We are ordinaries. We are fatals. We are the resistance." This challenges kingdom propaganda by proving ordinaries have lived among elites without spreading disease, exposing the king's genocidal lies. Peyton's confrontation with King Edric becomes both physical and ideological. He defends elite superiority while she fights for ordinary humanity. When she kills him with her father's dagger, declaring, "This is for me," it strikes against the system that declared her worthless. In the aftermath, Kit ascends the throne, commanding, "Find her, bring me Peyton Gray." Kai faces his own crisis after letting Peyton escape. Peyton flees into the forest, wounded, and carrying the O for ordinary carved into her chest, finally embracing her true identity. What does it truly mean to have power? This story subverts expectations about strength, suggesting that true power exists beyond supernatural abilities. The elite society values only magical abilities, creating a hierarchy where worth depends solely on supernatural gifts, ignoring all other human potential. Peyton challenges this definition through her existence. Though an ordinary without powers, she demonstrates remarkable strength through combat skills, strategic thinking, and determination. When she tackles Blair during their fight, landing solid blows against a telekinetic elite, she proves power exists beyond the supernatural. The novel shows how unchecked power corrupts. King Edric's authority led to genocide, while elite privilege blinds them to suffering. When Kit visits Loot Alley, he's shocked by poverty his privileged position sheltered him from. In this world obsessed with supernatural abilities, the greatest strength comes from human connection, courage to fight against overwhelming odds, resilience to survive trauma, and capacity to care despite everything. The revolution has begun with uncertain outcomes. In a world where abilities determined worth, an ordinary girl proved sometimes the greatest power lies in having nothing left to lose.